Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. As Brother Anthony said, I haven't preached much recently. The last time was at Josh and Janessa's farewell in Ohio. And before that, it was here sometime along the line. So I would invite you to pray that God would have his way this morning in this message and what I have to say. There have been a few distractions in our life the last few days, and I was just blessed by the songs that were sung this morning, because it seemed like God, by his Spirit, knew what songs that were to be led. And as I looked at the first song, "Hark, 10,000 voices, hearts, harps and voices, sound the note of praise above. Jesus reigns and heaven rejoices. Jesus reigns, the God of love. See, he sits on yonder throne. Jesus rules the world alone. Alleluia, alleluia." And then, "King of glory, reign forever. Thine an everlasting crown. Nothing from thy love shall sever those whom thou hast made thine own. Happy objects of thy grace, destined to behold thy face." And I had to think of those who God has made his own, which there should be quite a number of us here whom God has made his own. You are happy objects, as Johnny said, happy objects of God's grace. We should all be here gathered together as happy objects of God's grace. And then he says, "Savior, hasten thine appearing. Bring, oh, bring the glorious day. When the awful summons hearing, heaven and earth shall pass away, then with golden harps we'll sing. Glory, glory to our King." So I'm going to back up just a little bit and talk about our distractions that we had. On Friday evening, we have a neighbor, and her name is Linda. And for some reason, we've been here since Thursday, this past Thursday, 2 weeks, and we never stopped in to see Linda. We were busy with other things, and we never stopped in to see her. I said something in the afternoon, you know, we should go and see Linda sometime. And then I kind of forgot about it, and 9 o'clock rolled around, and Karen said, "Are we still going to go see Linda?" And I said, "Oh, yes, let's go over there." We got there, and here she was laying on the floor. She was laying in, she has a dog in the house, so I can just let you imagine what she was laying in, because her dog was all around her. And she was in very serious need. She'd been laying there for 34 hours, a day plus. And before the ambulance, I called the ambulance soon, very quickly, because I saw that I could not pick her up without, she had so much pain. And the ambulance came 2 hours later. I kept calling them and calling them. Finally, they started calling me, so I wouldn't call them again. And they came, two men, and they were very, very gracious, very gentle, and yet it was very painful for her. But in, 2 hours later, wasn't three, was it three, 9, 10, 11, it was almost 3 hours later. It was a full 36 hours that she was laying there before she was able to get up. So this was, we didn't get back to our house till after midnight. But the thing I want to tell you is, she was in such a desperate situation. She told Karen, "Jesus saved me last night." And the history that we have with her is realizing she has told us enough to say that she had a father who cared about them. I had my Bible laying on the desk one day, on the windowsill one day, and she looked at that Bible and she said, "My dad used to read that to me when I was a little boy, or a little girl, way, way back." And she has good memories of that. But her life has been a very, very sad life. She lived with a man, or she was married, and then she divorced, and she lived with another man for 50 years. And this man died about two and a half, three years ago, after we were living there. He was found after 2 days. And I just am so thankful that we didn't have to go over and find Linda gone, like her husband was gone. We went to visit her yesterday, and my apologies to those of you who I've been updating. I should have updated you yesterday, but she is in good hands at the hospital. She was still in the emergency room after having been there from 12 o'clock until we were there about 5 o'clock, I think. And she was still in the hall, but the nurses are taking care of her very well, and she's looking to have a room upstairs in the hospital. She has a very bad bed sore that nobody could see, and the nurse said it's not nice, not pretty. She has sores on her legs, but she's being taken care of. She said, "I would have died if you wouldn't have come." She told us that yesterday. And all I can say is it was God, it was the Holy Spirit that led us to there to go visit. Why didn't we go earlier? I don't know. Except we've thought about it. Maybe that's what God needed, the time she needed to come to the end of herself. I'd like to read to you the second song that we read was "A Dark and Silent World. In shapeless void lay furled. Beneath the great creating hand, the word of power rang. And light from darkness sprang. The night withdrew at his command. The day before him stood, and God declared it good." God is looking at in the beginning, it was a dark and void thing. When God comes in, things change. The vagrant vapors he heard, assembled at his word. The silent seas and hills obeyed. Again his power spoke. The veils to verdure woke. The rising skies his wealth displayed. The worlds before him stood, and God declared them good. He continues, "His word of wisdom willed. The fields and forests filled. The creatures came at his decree. Then on his earth he breathed. His image bright bequeathed. That man a living soul should be. The man before him stood. And God declared him good." So now we have a beautiful world that God has created out of darkness, out of nothing, out of a formless void. And then he created the animals. He created the beautiful, somebody told me recently, they think Ireland is one of the most beautiful country they've ever visited. But all of this beauty God created, then he created man and put him on this earth and declared him good. I'd like for you to notice the next verse that the songwriter wrote. "Upon earth's ordered frame, sin's curse of chaos came. And man to dark and void returned, but God's incarnate word once more that darkness stirred, till hearts anew with brightness burned, and where those souls have stood, their God shall call him good." I just think that there are many souls in this world that have seen that darkness, have went into the depths of darkness. And our neighbor has experienced that. And I think all of us, in some sense of the word, may have experienced that. When we got to a place of darkness and we had a need. And I told Linda, when she said to Karen, "Jesus saved me last night," I told her, "Linda, Jesus will save anyone who calls upon him. But we must call upon Jesus. We must call upon the name of the Lord. Because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, we can look at her and say, all the evil, all the stuff that she was involved in, everything about her life and the chaos she lives in right now or has lived in. By the way, I told the nurses, in no uncertain terms should they have her come back into that house before it's cleaned up And they promised that that wouldn't happen. So respite care is next for her. And cleanup of the house is next. So what we've been praying for seems to be happening. We've been disappointed before, but let's keep praying that God would bring good out of this chaos that we've been involved in. So I appreciate what God has been doing, and that was just a preamble to the sermon this morning. So who knows what is special about this day? Anyone? I heard a whisper, it's Father's Day. But it's also the Lord's Day. Why is it called the Lord's Day? I'll read you what I wrote. I think it's because on this day, Jesus resurrected from the dead. His Father put the spirit of Jesus back into his body, however it worked, and he came out of the grave where he was laid. He walked around. He talked to people off and on for the next 40 days until he went to heaven to be with his Father again. Jesus is alive today, and he is interceding for us at the side of the Father. Let's never forget that. We also call today Father's Day because it is a day we want to recognize and we want to appreciate our fathers. The Father of Jesus was God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus' earthly father was actually not his blood father, but what we would call his stepfather. Do you ever think of that? Joseph was not the blood father of Jesus, but he was his father. What do we think of when we think of fathers? You know, all of us have in our mind a thought when we think of fathers. A lot of my thoughts about fathers have to do with God as our Father. And I think we need to think about God as our Father. In the beginning, God created, he made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. As I read to you from the song that we read, it was darkness and void. And God breathed, then he spoke into existence the world that we see, and it is the word was. I love John, 1 John, or John chapter 1, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word." It's speaking about the beginning as well. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God created the worlds that we have with the Word, with a Word. So God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and all we see was made by God. That includes you and I. Later in John chapter 1, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. How amazing. Jesus is the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. The first two people were the father and mother of the human family, Adam and Eve. I don't know if I chuckled to myself about this, but when we think about evolution and what the idea of evolution and how there was just this big explosion and there's different theories about evolution, but that was a tiny little amoeba, and from that developed more and more life, and life eventually developed into fish and ducks and birds. And somebody told Karen once, because of something they removed from her, that if it would have been on a certain part of her, she would have evolved from a fish, and if it would have been on another part of her, she would have evolved from a duck. These ideas seem so strange, but I didn't mean for that to be real humorous, but still, when you think about that, when the idea that we're, my question is this, At what point did these humanoids become human, and at what point was there the Adam and Eve that we read about in the Bible? I like the simple explanation that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he created everything, and he created it with form and fashion, and he made everything the way it was, and then he made a man, Adam, and from that man he made a woman. And it makes so much more sense, because God didn't have to use millions and millions of years to accomplish something. That means it would have been millions and millions of years of death and suffering and sorrow and sadness. Instead, it was somewhere, it's really hard to know exactly how many years, but 6,000 to 8,000 years, somewhere in there. That's the limit that God put on death and suffering. And even now, there will come a time when everything will be burned up and everything is going to be made new. And we can be a part of that new creation, newness, of the new heavens and the new earth that is going to be created. So the first two people were the father and mother of the human family, Adam and Eve. I think they started with Adam and Eve. It doesn't start with millions of years before that. They chose to disobey the clear instructions of God, which is very sad. And nothing has been quite right ever since. Whenever Adam and Eve disobeyed, nothing has been quite right ever since. Last Sunday, you saw what Josiah had on front here. Just give me that, the three words that you had on here again.
Love, obedience, and abiding.
Those are the secrets to life. See, if Adam and Eve would have had the love of God in them and obeyed and stayed that way, we would never have gotten into this circle of hatred, disobedience, and chaos. But that's what we have now. It's the opposite of love, selfishness, disobedience. And what does that result in? Chaos. I could describe you chaos. We stood in a part of chaos to the point where we had to go home and shower in this past Friday. I mean, but at least we could do that, thank the Lord. I forgot to say one of my other distractions this morning. When I was going to really put the finishing touches on this sermon, I realized that there's a wetness on the upstairs floor, and I don't know where the wetness was coming from. I still don't know where it's from. But finally, I went downstairs, and I drilled put a bowl underneath the ceiling where the wetness appeared like it was coming from, and we drilled a little hole in there, and now the water is still dripping down there. And when we get home, we'll have to deal with it. But that's what fathers do sometimes. They have to realize that the responsibility lies on us to take care of these things. So if this seems a little disjointed this morning, I didn't put all the finishing touches on it as I wanted to. So there's nothing, as I said, nothing has been quite right ever since. There's disobedience, there's sin, there's selfishness and hatred, there's a disrespect for God and a disrespect for man. People don't respect each other anymore. There's violence and killing and all the bad things that go with it. If just read the papers, don't read the papers. It gets you into a downward spiral. In the middle of this, there were always people who actually loved God and wanted to do what he wanted them to. And that's the hope, that's the joy, that's what I love to see. I mean, I turned 70 years old a week and a half ago, but I am watching young men pick up the torch, and I'm watching young men preach the Word of God and live the Word of God, and that is so encouraging. Keep on, because there's no other place that brings worth and brings meaning into life besides preaching Jesus and him crucified, and that he is the answer living the way God wanted us to live. I mean, it needs to be more than just head knowledge. It needs to become heart knowledge and needs to come out in our everyday actions, the way we act and live and interact with each other. The Bible is actually God's word, and it's his plan for us, and it tells us what he is like and what he wants us to be like, what he wants us to do. Become biblically literate. I think we are so many times I'm looking at a world that is biblically illiterate. They don't know what the Bible says. But when we get to know the history of mankind and where mankind, where God wants to take us, and you follow the scarlet cord through the Bible, and you find Jesus in that scarlet cord. You find Jesus still living today, still changing lives today, still answering the call of children who need him. The Bible tells me, I will be a father to him, and he shall be my son. And I meant to get a scripture reference for that, but I don't have it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. This is Psalm 139. You know where I'm going, and you know the very intricate workings of who I am. Jesus prayed regularly to his Father. Jesus, as a man, how that worked, I don't know, because he was also God. But as a man, he prayed regularly to his Father. If you think that you don't need to pray regularly, then just take Jesus' example. He did. That was one thing he did. God wants to be our Father. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven. Holy is your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth today as it is in heaven, because his will is being done in heaven. And he keeps on going. Now, Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take you up. So, just within the last year, my mother passed on to eternity. My father passed on in 2004. It's been 22 years now. And my mother only 6 months or less. So they're not here anymore. I would love to have one more conversation with both of them. Ask them questions. So how was it for you, Dad? How was it for you, Mom? Just those are things that we long to have, but we don't have them anymore. But we have an heavenly Father that we can go to. Just note, Psalm 56. David was speaking to his father. O God, have mercy on me. The enemy troops press in on me. My foes attack me all day long. My slanderers hound me constantly, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will trust in you. O God, I praise your word. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They're always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting ways to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, throw them to the ground. We don't have to throw our enemies to the ground. God takes care of our enemies. Don't let them, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. On the very day I call to you for help, my enemies will retreat. This I know, God is on my side. I'll never forget the time when I was hauling grain to the elevator. And one of the men where I dumped the grain into the sump there was having a hard time. And I had just gotten done reading this
Verse 8 of Psalm 56, it says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle." I don't know how that is, but I just told him that God knows all about your troubles. He even collects your tears in his bottle. What that's like, I don't know. But it's just a picture of God caring about us. And as a father, I want you to realize, as a person, I want you to realize that God, the perfect Father, will take care of you. I am going to close with something I read that helped me think about what different people feel or think when they think of fathers. I don't know where I got this, but I'll let you take it for what it's worth. From the time that we are young, something within each of us longs for a father. His steady hand, his gentle instructive word, his secure embrace, his unconditional love. This is a picture of God the Father himself in our own home. Fathers are an indispensable part of God's perfect plan for the family. It's only right that we have a day set aside to honor the fathers and the father figures in our lives that demonstrate servant leadership, Christ-like love, and biblical sacrifice. Servant leadership, Christ-like love, and biblical sacrifice. That's exactly what God does. You may have a father who is a righteous man of God, seeking to honor the Lord in every area of his life, or you may have experienced the curse of sin in a deep and real way at the hand of your dad. Sadly, that's a reality in some cases. Experiencing the curse of sin in a deep and real way at the hand of your dad. I know that there were times when in anger I disciplined my children. I know that they experienced the curse of my sin in their lives. And thankfully, I have a forgiving family, and I don't think there's anything between us at this point, and between me and any of the children. But we have to recognize that we need God's help day by day. So from absence and abuse to sickness and death, sin sometimes sinks its sharp teeth into God's plan for fatherhood at every turn. Perhaps that's why there are a few days that evoke the intensity of emotions that Father's Day does. There's emotions like gratitude. There are emotions like mourning. There are emotions like longing, confusion, or all of these and more mixed together. As the emotions of Father's Day roll in like the tide, cling tightly to God's word, and remember these timely truths. I'm going to read these timely truths. If you're mourning this Father's Day, perhaps this Father's Day is a bittersweet occasion for you. If you find yourselves in the depths of grief, mourning the loss of a father figure, consider these things. Mourning is biblical. Genesis 50 describes Joseph mourning over the death of his father, and Scripture records his mourning as loud and bitter, verse 10 of Genesis chapter 50. This Father's Day, don't feel like you need to wear a mask at church or wherever else you might go. Instead, take your mourning to the Lord, trusting him to keep his promise to heal the brokenhearted and bind up your wounds. Psalm 147:3 talks about he is a God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So God is Father. He's a Father to us, and he cares about us. Remember, your father is a gift from the Lord. Even though he may not be with you this Father's Day, take some time to thank the Lord for your father, for the time that you were able to spend with him, and for the impact he had on your life. If your father was a believer, praise God that you will one day see him again. And never assume that Well, God, he can save people at the very last. I could say more, but I don't have time. I just know that there are people who don't ever assume that you're, yeah, just remember God is big enough to take care of your father. Honor your dad with happy memories. Sometimes in the throes of grief, we avoid talking about the thing that's grieving us. But often this just causes us to bottle up our grief even more. What better time than on Father's Day to talk with others about your father, his impact on your life, his impact on the world around you? Give yourself the space to reminisce and experience the joy of remembering the good times and the waves of emotion that may come with remembering. Just because your father is no longer with you does not mean that he cannot be a part of your Father's Day this year. Today, as you mourn, know that the Lord is near. He understands the feelings of deep grief and has not called you to walk through the valley of mourning alone. As we were coming over here, driving over here, I was just thinking about my father and about the many good memories and also, in some cases, the bad memories. But we have to just appreciate the good. And we have a tremendous capacity to kind of forget the bad. And I think we should do that. If you find yourself longing on Father's Day, maybe this Father's Day your heart aches with longing. You long for a father that stayed, or one who didn't lift the heavy hand of abuse. You ache for a father who actively shows affection, who doesn't play favorites, and models the example of our Heavenly Father. Perhaps you long for any kind of father, but the one that you have. Maybe you find yourself praying for your father to come to know Christ as Savior. Whatever you're yearning for this Father's Day, here are a few things to reflect on. Number one, let your longings point you to Jesus. Your yearnings are a reminder that the world is not our home. Whatever it is you find yourself longing for today, remember that whatever you're longing for, cannot ultimately satisfy you. Only Jesus can ultimately satisfy you. I find myself always looking to the next event that I'm looking forward to. I mean, this morning I was even thinking of the fact that we're going, hopefully, to be in Italy a week from today. And I'm looking forward to that event. But that event, those trips, those things that we look forward to, if we put all of our hopes in just the next event, we forget to enjoy this day, today, now, this moment, right now. So I want to enjoy this day just as much as I hope to enjoy next tomorrow and next Sunday. I don't know where we're going to be worshiping, but I always look forward to stopping in at a church somewhere on a Sunday morning when we're somewhere else, because you just see how people live. Remember, nothing ultimately satisfies like knowing the Lord. Remember, you have a good father. While it sounds cliche, it couldn't be more true. You have a heavenly father who loves you infinitely more than your earthly father ever could. In his word, he describes himself as a father to the fatherless. Even if you do not have an earthly father who loves you well, remember that your heavenly father will never leave you or forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. He provides everything you need. 2 Peter 1:3. He loves you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. Be honest with the Lord. When we're longing for something, it's easy to bottle our desires up and become bitter. Instead, take these longings to the Lord. He cares. He listens. He understands. Pour out your heart before him. While you may not change your circumstances, he will give you peace and joy in the middle of your circumstance. Have you ever found that you have a circumstance that is so difficult, but at the same time, in that difficult circumstance, you have peace? Yeah, I'm glad for you. In the middle of the most difficult circumstances, we can have peace. That's the peace of God that defies understanding. It defies everything that we think, but it's there and it's real. And it guards our hearts until the day of Jesus Christ. see what I should cut out here. If you're feeling grateful this Father's Day, you may be reflecting on the blessing that your dad has been to you and your family. When you think of your father, good memories and godly advice flood your mind, like David, whose parting words to Solomon were full of godly wisdom and admonition for the future. Your father is living a legacy that you are grateful to the Lord for. If gratitude is your primary emotion this day, thank the Lord for your father. James 1:17 reminds us, every good and every perfect gift comes from above and is set down from the Father of lights. With him is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we might become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's what God made us for. And take some time to thank the Lord for your father and the example he is to those, to you and those around him. And don't forget to thank your dad, if he's still living. And pray for your father. It is a common thing for parents to pray for their children, but when was the last time you stopped and prayed for your father or the father figure in your life? Pray that the Lord would become the first priority in his life. Pray that he will continue to lead and care for his family well. Pray that the Lord strengthens him to withstand the battle that rages against biblical fatherhood in our culture. There is a battle that's raging against biblical fatherhood. Pray for your fathers because they need strength. They need, in today's culture especially. Today, as you feel grateful for your father, remember that your heavenly father has graciously given him to you and to your family. Rejoice in this good and precious gift, knowing that he is a picture of your heavenly father, the giver of good gifts. No matter what you find yourself feeling this Father's Day, know that your heavenly father meets you right where you are. He sees you and hears you. He is merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Because of his generosity toward you, no matter what emotions you are facing, you have reason to rejoice. The most security anyone can ever have is to be a child of God. To have God as our Father brings security. Jesus approached his disciples with a heart of love and a relationship that put them in the same boat. A little bit of a play on words. He imparted to them a vision that has remained alive for nearly 2,000 years now. The invitation is still open to anyone who hears the call. Anyone who, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And sometimes we think that's out there for other people. But I think it's here for me today. And I think that as a person, I need to not ever stop calling on the name of the Lord. I might find myself in a situation. In other words, how do they drift away? It's because they stop calling on the name of the Lord. It's because they think they're going to do all right on themselves. I could be in that situation today. I should say tomorrow. Hopefully I'm not today. But it's always very sad for me to hear of a man who has left, who has been in sin, it's such a sad thing for me to hear that. It's so discouraging. But it's because they left their father in heaven. Because they stopped calling upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's remember that. When you're in difficulty, when you're in happiness, when you're in joy, whatever emotion you might find yourself in, always remember to call upon the name of the Lord. God is our Father. Let us kneel for prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, you are holy and righteous and true and just, and we thank you for being our Father. All who call upon you become your children, who call upon you in truth, who call upon you in honesty, who call upon you in repentance, and who become people who love you. Thank you, Father, for this service, from the beginning song to the end of the service. We pray that you would bless each one that is here, that we would be able to leave this place with a renewed energy and determination and a renewed love for you and for all that you've done. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, in whom we live and move and have our being, and in whose name we pray. Amen.